1 Peter chapter 4. We finished tonight what we started this morning, or that's the intent. And the last message in this series of They Were First Called Christians, taken from the book of Acts chapter 11. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to again read 12 through 17. All right? So would you stand with me as we read from God's precious Word. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. That just doesn't sound right, does it? Fiery trials, and then the next verse he says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part He's blasphemed, but on your part He's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Michael, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right, this morning we talked about not being caught off guard as these fiery trials that come. And we talked about how everybody sooner or later will face the fiery trials. That decision point of that time when you either have to stand up for Jesus or sit down for fear. So, how do you handle it when that time comes? What do you do? How do you stand? What does taking a stand look like? Is it being a fanatic and standing on the street corner and shouting at people that you're going to hell? No. What does this being identified as a Christian and when the fiery trial comes, what does it look like? Well, it begins with a character stand. Okay? It begins with a character stand. And if you'll notice there in verse 13, he tells us the kind of character that we're supposed to have. He said, rejoice when the fiery trials come. As literally, in the Greek, it says, keep on rejoicing. Okay? Attitude is everything. If Satan gets your attitude, he's likely got you. When he beats you down, when he knocks you down, if he takes that joy on the inside, you're in trouble. I want to tell you what, he can do a lot of things on the outside, but there's one thing that Satan cannot do. He cannot take away what God has done on the inside of you. And do not let him convince you otherwise. You say, Brother Doug, how do you do that? How when life is just overwhelmingly hard, when you're facing the fiery trial, how do you do that? Philippians 4:8. I'm glad you asked. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren. Now pay attention. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It's all a matter of what you let occupy your mind and your heart. Okay? I am convinced that joy is in fact a choice. However, sometimes you've got to stop and reboot. Sometimes you've got to, you know, there are times when you say, Brother Doug, I just don't feel like rejoicing. I understand that. There are some times where you've just got to stop and reprogram yourself and think about what God has done. One thing I'm sure of, all of us have faced things we didn't want to go through. All of us have faced trials that we didn't want to deal with. But whatever our circumstance, it does not change who God is and what God has done. And guess what? I am a child of the King. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter who's for me. It doesn't matter who's against me. Jesus Christ has shown me the absolute ultimate love by giving His life so that I can live forever with Him. Isn't that great? Now, that's true. Those things are pure. That sort of thought is holy. And you know what I find when I get away, when I back up, and there have been times I've just had to run away so that I could be alone and reprogram myself. But what I find when I get alone for that time of reprogramming in the Lord, I find that God's just as good as He's ever been. I'm still saved. I'm still blessed with a church family. I'm still blessed with a wife. I'm still blessed with children. I'm still blessed. You see, if Satan can ever take that away from you, if he can ever take your eyes off that, he's got you beaten down. So the first step of facing these fiery trials is keep on rejoicing. It don't matter what's going on around you. Second, you need to realize, hey, you're in good company. You're in good company. It's nothing new. This battle has been going on since the beginning of time in Genesis chapter 3. You know, this battle against good and evil. But the reason I say you're in good company, it said in the text that we are partakers of Christ's suffering. Actually, it says to the extent that you are a partaker of Christ's suffering. That to the extent literally means to have in common. Do you realize when you're going through the fiery trial, you can keep on rejoicing because you have something in common with Jesus? Think about that. It's almost on holy ground there. You have something in common with Jesus, the Son of God Himself. Oh, Brother Doug, do I really? You sure do. Do you realize Satan attacked Jesus? Do you know that? In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And here come, you know, when you're at your weakest, that's when Satan shows up, right? When you're at that vulnerable point, that's when he's going to show up. And that was the case with Jesus. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. You know what he's doing? He's quoting Scripture to Satan. Then he went on. Satan set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Because it's written that the angels have charge over you so you will not dash your foot upon a stone. Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Then Satan took him to a high mountain. Said, all these things you see, I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship only the Lord your God and Him only, Him alone. You see, Jesus went through it too. He was tried by Satan also, just like you and I are. So I want you to realize, You can rejoice because you're on holy ground. You have something in common with Jesus. In John chapter 15, verse 20, Jesus told His disciples, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. Jesus says, you're not going through nothing I hadn't already been through. I love the verse in Hebrews, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like as you are, yet without sin. Do you realize Jesus knows how you feel? When you're going through the fire and you're hurting, Jesus knows. When you're upset and you're angry because somebody has abused you, Jesus knows. You're in good company. And then And then, the next thing I want you to understand is you are truly, truly blessed. Verse 14 said, if you're reproached, that word reproach means insulted. How many of us like to be insulted? Raise both hands. I love it. Absolutely not. We don't like to be insulted and abused, but that's what this means. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Really? Do you feel blessed when you're insulted? But he explains. The reason you're blessed is the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rest upon you. You know what I found? When I'm going through the fiery trial, God's presence rests upon me in a way as not before. I mean, it's special. And when I'm going through the fiery trial and I'm remaining faithful to the Lord, He carries me and He strengthens me to endure beyond what I am able to endure myself. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about how God comes in that hour of need. And He gives you what you need to take the stand that will glorify Him. Verse 14, I love this part. On their part, He's blasphemed. But on your part, He's glorified. I figured out, I can't control everybody else. But you know who I can control? I can control me. And I want God to be honored, to receive honor and glory by the stands that I take in this life. If no one else stands, I pray that God will give me the strength to stand on His behalf. I might not can change anybody else, but I can sure take the stand myself that will glorify my God. So you see, these are character stands. Now we're going to talk about courage stands. A courageous stand. It says in verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Have you ever felt ashamed? The word ashamed means to be dishonored or to feel dishonored. You know, as a child of God, and young person, people especially, listen up. Because something that's going to help you in your walk with the Lord is come to grips with who you are as a child of God. Okay? Yes, you may be made fun of. And yes, you may be pushed out of certain circles. But listen, if you've got Christ Jesus, you've got all you need. All right? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I like the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. He said, never be ashamed of who you are in Christ Jesus. Instead, let Him glorify God in this matter. Don't back down, don't back up, but rather glorify God. Take your stand. Sometimes, you know, the reason that we don't take our stand is because we think we're going to lose something. We think it's not worth it. But you know what? If Satan says, you listen to me and I'll give you everything you ever wanted, you tell Satan, you can't give me anything. I already own it all. Right? You tell him, there's nothing you can give me that I don't already have. If he tells you, you listen to me, you do what I say, or I'm going to take it all away. You tell Satan, you can't take anything away from me. I don't own anything. What I'm talking about, have you ever looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10? That's a really cool verse. It's talking about who we are. It's as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Satan can't take anything away from me because I don't own anything. It all belongs to God. He can't give me anything because I already have everything that I could possibly need, want in my Heavenly Father. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Eternity for me is heaven. How much better can it get than that? You know, Satan spends a lot of time trying to convince us it's not worth it. Trying to convince us that God's holding out. You know, you go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. And when he tempted Adam and Eve, he approached Eve. And he asked her, as God said, you shouldn't... Is there anything here that God has said you can't eat? Eve said, yeah, there's one tree. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, we can't eat it. He said, we can't even touch it or we're going to die. Satan said, you will not surely die. You know, after that he said, but you will be as God, knowing good from evil. You see what he offered her? He convinced her that he could give her something that God was not providing. And she fell for it. And you know what? She did die. She did die. Before that time, she and Adam were able to walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day. There was no such thing as guilt. There was no such thing as sin in their life. Can you imagine having such fellowship with God? When she took that fruit, Satan and his lies led her straight to death. That spiritual side died. And not only did the spiritual side die, she began to die physically. Because the wages of sin is death. My friends, what I want you to grab is Satan's a liar. He's a liar. And he'll make you think that God's holding out on you. God's not holding out on you. You're his child. And you may not get this until you're a parent, but I want to tell you, as a parent, I want my child to have everything I can possibly have give them. But I'll tell you what I don't want my children to do. I don't want them to hurt themselves. I want them to have everything that's good and wholesome in their life, but I don't want them to have anything that'll destroy them. That's how God looks at us. Don't believe the lies of Satan. Instead, when you find yourself in that fiery trial, you stand up for Jesus. And make sure that your actions glorify your wonderful Savior. Verse 17. For the time has come, the time of judgment, to begin with us. I think some translations say the time of judgment to begin at the house of God. What he's talking about there is one of these days this world's going to be judged. But right now, for us, for the child of God, is a time of judgment. And I talked to you this morning about how the fiery trial, it causes the chaff to rise to the surface, the impurities to rise to the surface. That's what he's talking about there. He's saying it's okay if we're judged by the world, if we're persecuted by the world, and we show where our faults are. That's okay. Like I said this morning, deal with the dross. Get rid of the chaff. Because there's coming a day when the judgment of God is going to be poured out on this entire earth. You know, I realize, and I saw an article this week of a famous preacher. I won't mention his first name, but his last is Osteen. And in case you don't know, I'm not very big on him. Because you see, he's quit preaching about sin and judgment. He's quit preaching about hell. And he preaches those hold hands and it'll all be all right sermon. Everybody be good. But I want to tell you something. God is a just God. And as a just God, He must judge sin. And if you're not a child of God, there is nothing that stands between you and the judgment of Almighty God. Okay? Being saved is about receiving the righteousness of Jesus Christ to ourselves. And Jesus taking our unrighteousness to the cross of Calvary where He died 2,000 years ago. If you don't want to experience the judgment of God, there is only one name given among men whereby men must be saved. That name is Jesus. Listen, judgment's coming. Are you a child of God? If we're experiencing judgment in this life as children of God, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Because the great news is, when this life is over, our sin has been taken care of through the blood of Jesus. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? If you're saved, are you standing up for Jesus? Maybe you're standing up for Jesus and you've reached that particularly difficult point in life where things are tough right now. I want to tell you something. You hang in there. It will be worth it. Okay? Don't give up. Don't back down. God is still God. He knows just how much you can handle. And when you can't handle anymore, you know what He'll do? One of two things. He'll take you out of it or He'll carry you through it. All right? I've done that before. Thought, I can't take this anymore. I can't do it, you know. And God just kind of carry you through and take on Him the load that you couldn't bear. It's going to be all right. Child of God, you hang in there. You stand up for Jesus. We've come to the point of the service now where it's invitation time. If there's something you need to take care of with Christ, now's the time to respond. If you need to be saved, if you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, or if you just need to spend time at this altar, now's the time to take care of it during this invitation. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for the knowledge that it will be worth it all. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of standing for You. I pray that as we leave this place tonight, Lord, we will leave here with a determination as never before that we will stand up and this world will know that we are Christians. That we'll not be ashamed of Your wonderful gospel. That we'll not be ashamed, but rather that we will take our stand, no matter come what may. Lord, give us that strength, because we know within ourselves we don't have that strength to do it on our own. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We give You all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.